Welcome, and thanks for joining us for this episode of the C3 Church Podcast. You're about to listen into a message from one of our gatherings. To find out more about our community, where we gather both in person and online, and how to get involved, head to c3church.ca. Now, let's listen into a message from a recent service.
All right, good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
I am glad that it got slightly warmer in here, because when I first came in, I was freezing.
Yep.
Although I'm still feeling pretty cold. Come on, it's good to be in the house of God. It's good to worship together. It's good to spend your Sundays with a community of believers, encouraging and getting in the presence of God. This morning, I'm going to share on something. And first, before I tell you what I'm going to share on, I'm going to tell you how I came upon the topic that I want to talk about. I'm introducing myself. Okay, my name is Jessie. I'm part of the team here. I do head up the worship alongside Jasmine. And if you want to join the worship team, we would love to have you. but I am excited to speak. I'm nervous to speak, but I'm also excited because I do feel like it's a word that's been on my heart. So I'm going to tell you how I came upon this word. So I have three daughters and one husband of 19 years and 3 weeks today. So three daughters. And I have one particular daughter that can get herself in a lot of trouble by the things that she says. She can be very honest about her observations. And she can be opinionated. She's not inherently mean or unkind, but she's just curious. And she speaks what's on her mind. So a couple months ago, we were at the dentist's office, and she's telling the hygienist her opinions about their renovation. And she's telling them about what she thinks that the dentist smells like and how she doesn't want his hands in her mouth. And she's saying what she would do differently if they would let her be in charge. And so I'm in the corner just being like, oh my gosh, be quiet. And the hygienist turns around to me and says, you got to get a filter for this girl. And, you know, I laugh and I say, like, Joey, be quiet or the smelly dentist is adopting you. But now, as I think about it, I'm like, how is she saying all that? Because her mouth was being worked on. But so, you know, we leave and life goes on as it does, but sort of ruminated on this a bit, like, okay, how do I teach my then, she's 10 now, but then 9-year-old daughter how to filter her words? How do I teach myself how to filter my words and not say everything that I think, right? Because it's sometimes it gets you in trouble. But still, we want to teach our children and ourselves to still speak up for what's right. So we don't want to teach intimidation, but we do want them to be authentic, and we do want them to be honest, same with ourselves. And so I began to pray about this. I remember specifically where I was walking kind of behind the green belt. Philippians 4 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and give him thanks. So I brought this to God. I was like, man, what am I going to do with this, Lord? Like, how do I teach this? And I heard the Lord respond quite clearly. And he said, pray that she would be filtered by the fear of God and not the fear of man. And for those who are very observant, my shirt says the fear of God will keep us. And it was kind of like a light bulb moment. And I think that can sometimes describe what it's like when God speaks to you. You get this light bulb, like, oh, right? Like, I never thought about that before. That's smart. Thanks, God. So the fear of God will protect her God-given boldness. The fear of God will cause her to be zealous for the right things, but the fear of man will shut her down. You know, and I realize not everybody here has children, but I think especially when you become a parent, you start doing things that you should have done before, like disciplining certain areas of your life, kicking addictions, saving money, right? So it's something that can apply to all of us. So I want to talk this morning about the fear of God and how the fear of God can keep us safe and how we can have the right sort of fear filter on our life. So what is the fear of God? When I'm talking about the fear of God, what exactly am I talking about? So listen to what the Bible says about this. In Psalms 86:11, it says, "Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name." So the fear of God is about asking the Lord to teach us in his ways so that we can have an undivided heart. So then when we go to make decisions, it's not our ways or his ways. It's one way. It's his way only. We don't consider any other option but obedience to him. In Proverbs 14:26-27, another verse that says, "In the reverent fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, and his children will always have a place of refuge, a place of safety." The reverent fear of the Lord that leads to obedience and worship is a fountain of life so that one may avoid the snares of death. So the fear of the Lord is reverent. It's about respect and honor, about putting God above us, about respecting who he is. The fear of the Lord is worshipful. It's about living in awe and wonder at his holiness and his love for us and being amazed at who he is, at his power and his majesty and his grace, and that while we were still sinners, he sent Christ to die for us, and he didn't have to. There's an old writer from the 1800s named John Brown, and he wrote this massive commentary on the book of the First Peter, which in 1 Peter 2:17, there's a command that says, "Show proper respect to everyone, love the family of believers, and fear God." So we're commanded to fear God. And John Brown defined the fear of God as to fear God is to love him so much that his frown would be your greatest dread and his smile would be your greatest delight. So the fear of God is about being motivated to put a smile on God's face. So I've given you a few working definitions here. And I want to present kind of three traps or three snares. This isn't comprehensive, but this is what was on my heart. Three snares that the fear of God can protect us from. Okay? So the first one, the snare number one, is being afraid of God. Okay, the fear of God is not the same as being afraid of God, right? So I think this is what a lot of people struggle with, especially when you hear about, like, I could never come to church because lightning would strike. That's being afraid of God, not the fear of God. We think, we shrink back in terror from him. We think he's big, he's scary, he's mean, he's sitting there waiting to discipline us. And you might obey him, but you're obeying him from a motivation of thinking that he's dangerous instead of a motivation of love. Okay, and this reminds me of an analogy we sometimes hear about God being like that little boy with the magnifying glass, and he's sitting in heaven with his magnifying glass waiting to burn the people, the little ants, down below. So he's kind of unpredictable, and he's a little bit demented, and he's just waiting, sitting there to set somebody on fire, and we don't know exactly who it's going to be like. This is not God. This is not what God wants for us. And the Israelite people, they experience this in Exodus 19. God says he wants to come down and he wants to talk to them. He's coming to the base of Mount Sinai, and he tells them to get ready, to clean, to go through all these rituals, which represents, you know, cleaning from sin, and he's coming down to speak to them. So they come out on the third day when he tells them, and they see this mountain, and it's covered in smoke, and there's fire, and there's thunder, and there's lightning, and there's the sound of the trumpet. And they say to Moses, who's their leader, he says, you go and talk to him and tell us what he says. We don't want to go anywhere near him. He's scary. And the problem with this approach to God, and the reason why it's a trap or a snare, is that it causes you to keep away from God's presence. And if you've been tracking with us for a while, in January and February, we did The Doctrine of God, and it talked about how God is relational. God didn't create us and then step back into heaven with his lightning bolts and his magnifying glasses ready to smite us. God created us so that we would be with him and we would know him and he would know us and that we would spend time for us. And God never, ever, ever wants you to live at a distance from him. And being afraid of God will take us away from his presence, like the Israelites who were afraid. And they had an opportunity to meet with God face to face, and they turn around the other way. But learning to fear God will bring us into his presence. So learning to fear him, that's again like loving him, serving him, obeying him, desiring to put a smile on his face. Moses said, so right after that, where they say like, we don't want to go, you go talk to him. In Exodus 20, 20 to 21, Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning. The thing is that they failed the test, though, because he's saying, don't be afraid. God is testing you. But they were afraid, and they ran the other way. And Moses says that the fear of God will protect you by deterring you from sin. Like, what separated us from God in the first place in the garden, right? It was our sin that separated us and put this barrier between us. So God is saying, I don't want you to take sin lightly. I don't want to be separated from you. I want to be with you. You were created to be in the presence of God, and I want you to fear me, which is to love me and to obey me and serve me and want to be. I don't want you to turn around and run away from me, but I want you to come into my presence boldly with fear and trembling. So the test is this. Will you march into that thick darkness, even though you're not 100% sure what's inside the cloud? But you know and you believe that a life in the presence of God is so much better than a life outside of the presence. Like, whatever's that way, you don't want to be. You want to be where he is. So as we draw close to him with respect and obedience, and we get to know him, we find out what God likes and what he doesn't like. And fearing God is being close to him and knowing him. And when we get to know him, we know how much he hates sin. So this is how the fear of God keeps you from sinning. We know God, and we know he doesn't like sin. It's like when my husband John used to get, or sometimes, you know, he'd feel a cold coming on, he would grab a couple cloves of raw garlic and eat them. And it's very, very effective. But he learned quickly that I didn't want to be anywhere near him when he was eating his garlic cloves. I still loved him very much, but I didn't want to be in proximity to him. And since he wasn't a fan of that reaction, well, first of all, he switched to odorless garlic pills, which you know there is such a thing. But he stopped doing it. He stopped eating the garlic. And I realized in that analogy, I'm God, and his garlic is sin. But you get what I mean. So no matter what you do, it can't separate you from God's love, right? But when you get to know him and you spend time with him, you begin to crave a consecrated life. It's true. Like, and it's not about that one-time encounter, but it's about that repeated encounter that you begin to desire holiness because he is holy. And shows that were funny, now they just kind of seem like off color, and relationships that were good, now it's like we just sit around griping about everybody. Like, you start to notice where things in your life don't line up. And it's not about, you know, being better than anybody. It's just about desiring that life that he's called you to. So the fear of God will keep you safe by keeping you in his presence and deterring you from sin. Okay, the second snare that I have that the fear of God will keep you from is being too familiar with God. So this is the opposite end of being afraid of God. You're not running away from God, but instead of bowing before him, you're kind of slapping him on the back like he's your buddy, right? This is dangerous because it takes the power out of our relationship with God. This is where we lose our reverence for him. And the Bible talks about in Jesus' day that when he went back to his hometown, he couldn't do many miracles there at all because there was no faith. So they saw him coming and they treated him like, why does he think he's so special? He's nothing special, right? And we can act like this sometimes, especially when we've been in the house of God for a long time and we've been Christians a long time. We stop working at our salvation, you know, and we stop adhering as closely to the regulations that God has asked, the commandments that God has asked us. I read about a recent falling out in a mega church where two pastors had an affair. And first of all, that like I could just, as I was reading it, I just felt the grief of the Holy Spirit. Like, he would never want that. We're not looking at this car wreck. But it was just, it grieved the Holy Spirit. And I could hear him say, like, this is why I command rest. Because part of the write-up that the pastors had was like, we were just burnt out. We let our guards down. We just made some bad decisions. And it's true. That's what happens, is you think this will never happen to me. But then when you don't observe, like, okay, God has asked us to have rest so that we will be able to stand firm when we need to stand firm, right? So it's important that we don't take those things lightly. Philippians 2:12-3 says, so this is Paul talking, and he says, dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you, and now that I am away, it's even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and power to do what pleases him. Okay, so your salvation, our salvation, should look something more than we have an invisible friend, and his name is Jesus. Right? It should look something more than ever, even more than, okay, we believe that he died on a cross and atonement for our sin. I mean, that's okay at a basic level, right? But as we grow and mature in our faith, when we work out our salvation, the fear of God should look like you have the desire and the power to do what pleases him, or at least that you're starting to walk in that way, right? Like, there's no condemnation here. I'm saying this is a process. This is what we want to work towards. It's not living under a false gospel of grace that says you're saved, but you don't have to change anything, right? It's not even saying, like, God's love is unending and his forgiveness is infinite, and I'll do whatever I want because God keeps forgiving. Because even though God is full of forgiveness and his love is unending, there's more to it, right? Paul is encouraging us. He's like, keep going. Like, show that your salvation has more. You were saved, and now obey God with reverence. And as you do that, he's gonna make your desires line up with what pleases him. Not only that, but he's gonna give you the power to do what pleases him. And that, yeah, thanks. I think so too. Another reason we don't treat God familiar or as a buddy is that when we fear him, the Bible says we actually get to become his friend. I have it, I think, in two versions here. Psalm 25, verse 14, says that the Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. And then do I have the Message version? God friendship is for God worshipers. They are the ones he confides in. Okay, so the Lord confides in those who worship and honor him. When you fear God, you become more trustworthy to him, because he knows that when he gives you something, you're not going to take it lightly, right? That when he shares something with you, it's in good hands, because you put a weight on it that says, like, I know this is from the Lord. I'm not just, you know, pushing this aside, but I'm taking it with great respect. Those who fear the Lord get to be a friend and a confidant of the Lord. Like, how amazing is that? To know the inner secrets, or that he reveals his covenant to you. To revere and worship him, he will reveal the deep inner meanings of his covenant. Okay, so friendship with the Lord, so the fear of the Lord will keep you safe, because it'll keep you in friendship from him, and it'll keep you working out your salvation. And then the third snare, which I think is probably the most relatable, is the fear of man. And I kind of touched on this a little bit when I talked about my daughter. The fear of God will keep you safe from the fear of man. The fear of God is deliverance from the fear of man. Proverbs 29:27 says that the fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. See, it's funny, because we're born with a fear that's meant to keep us safe, right? It tells us not to run into traffic. It tells us not to put our hand under, like, a moving lawnmower. And it's put there when we expect danger, or we expect something to harm us. I have my youngest daughter, actually, the week before when I was writing this, I'm, like, sitting in our living room, and I see her go up the stairs with a plastic grocery bag. okay, that's weird, whatever. And then I see her get a stool, and then go upstairs. The girls call this my God tingles, and I was like, wait a second. So I'm like, what are you doing? She says, I'm using my parachute to jump off the balcony. I'm like, oh, no, you're not. No, you're not. So we're supposed to have this fear in us intrinsically that keeps us safe, right? Like, younger kids, sometimes you have to work it into them a little bit. But at some point in our lives, we go from just like, okay, I don't run into traffic, but now I have this fear of humiliation, and I have a fear of rejection, and I have a fear of being made fun of. And those are not God-given fears. Studies show that anger is often a secondary emotion to fear. Because, you know, one example is we fear losing control, so we respond in anger. I'm not going to let you make fun of me or hurt me, so we respond in anger. And that's really not the way that Jesus lived. It's our way of responding to what we perceive as danger in the world. It's the fear of man, and it's not from God. Like, simply, it's not from God. And I have definitely walked this through, and I'm still working this out in a very, very big way. But I remember about 2013, there was a speaker that came to our church and wasn't here, actually. We were in Kelowna, Fergus McIntyre. And I had the opportunity post-service to sit with him with my brothers and my sister and their spouses. And it was just kind of like a living room hangout session. And he began to tell us what he felt like God was saying to us. In other words, he began to prophesy over us, and he told me some things about myself, and then he started talking about John, my husband, who wasn't there. He was at work, and that he felt like God was going to change some of the trajectory that he was on. So that was all good, you know, and the next day, I had lunch with him and my parents and a couple other people, and I just told him, like, hey, the last 12 hours, I've been so stressed out because of this word that you gave me, and I thought, what does this mean? Is he going to die? Is he going to quit his job? What does this mean for our future? Like, give me more. What is happening here? And first of all, Pastor Fergus, he's like such a sweet man. He said, he assured me, that's not what I see in the spirit. I don't see, you know, your life all of a sudden going down the hole. And he said very, very lovingly, he said, but I do see a lot of fear on you. And you go to faith, or you go to fear before you go to faith. And honestly, that was the first time I had kind of considered that. I was like, no, these are rational fears. Like, I should be worried, like, what we're going to eat and how we're going to, I should worry about these. But as that all of a sudden kind of came into the light, so to speak, and that was really where he left it at. We didn't go much deeper. But as it came into the light, I began to see how much my fear of man motivated my decisions, how intimidation motivated my reactions, and that even what I called myself was fear. So my first adult French class, which was probably a year after that, you know, you go around and they ask you to describe yourself. And I said, well, I'm shy. Je suis timide. Like, I am timid. I am timidity. That's who I am. But the Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:17, it says, or 1:7, it says, for the spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So right there, it says that the spirit God gives us does not make us timid. So then that spirit must come from another source, right? And intimidation is demonic. Timidity is demonic. And when we respond to that, we begin empowering or feeding a spirit that does not belong in the people of God. So the fear of man is a snare. If the fear of man is a snare, then the fear of God leads to life. Proverbs 19:23 says, The fear of the Lord leads to life. Then one rests content, untouched by trouble. See, the fear of God is the antidote to the fear of man. Getting rid of anxiety over what people think about you or how people are going to respond to you. Getting rid of anxiety over rejection or humiliation is not about trying harder not to let it bother you. Like, oh, I'm just going to keep going and pretend that that doesn't bother me and it's going to go away. But it's about cultivating the fear of God in our lives that says, God, what you think about me matters more than what that person thinks about me. What you think about me matters more than what man means. And, you know, the first day that might be like, okay, I think this much, and then the next day a little bit more. You want to grow that. It's not always a sudden change, but it's about, you know, feeding what God thinks about you. The fear of the Lord helps us to make wise decisions, whereas the fear of man makes us stupid and foolish. Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment. I had a tenant one time that he intimidated me so badly. He was just like a jerk, but a loud jerk. And I ended up like lowering the rent below market price. We ended up doing all these things for him just to get him to be quiet. And he was never happy. But it made me stupid. Like, I feared this guy and his temper so much that it made me into an idiot. And hopefully I'm not the only one who has a story where, like, the fear of man has made you do something stupid. But the fear of God leads to good judgment and wisdom, to obey God and to love him, to serve him, and to live our lives in worship to him is the foundation of wisdom. It's how we start making good choices. The fear of man is motivated by the devil, and it is meant to snare you and to steal life from you and to steal sleep from you and to steal peace from you. But the fear of God is motivated by the Holy Spirit, and it is meant to keep you safe and to keep you living the life that God has created you to live. I could really expound on this for a long time, but I'm going to leave you with this verse. It's Psalm 25:12-15. And it says, who are those who fear the Lord? He will show them the path they should choose. They will live in prosperity, and their children will inherit the land. The Lord is a friend to those who fear him. He teaches them his covenant. My eyes are always on the Lord, for he rescues me from the traps of my enemies. So the fear of God will protect you from being afraid of him and running in the opposite direction. The fear of God will protect you from not working out your salvation. The fear of God will protect you from the fear of man. And what, you know, what's really the point of all this? Why do you care that, you know, I heard from God that I needed to pray that my daughter would be filtered by the fear of God? There's a verse in the book of Judges, it's chapter 21. And I think it really sums up the times that we're living in and the culture. And it says, everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And that's a dangerous way to live. But I think it wouldn't be a stretch for most people to see that that's the times that we're living in, where people get to choose for themselves what's right and what's wrong. I read an article not that long that said that there are people that are actually lobbying to try to legalize pedophilia. I mean, how scary and frightening is that? There's so little fear of God. Like, if you have the fear of God, you would know. Matthew 18, even beyond that, we should just know as humans, but that Matthew 18, that if anyone causes a child to sin, they're better off to have a millstone, which I don't really know what that is, but I imagine it's heavy, a millstone around their neck and thrown into the sea than to face the judgment that's coming for them, right? So I promise you that in these times, which are really unpredictable and scary, that the fear of God will keep you safe. It will keep you from compromising your values. It will keep you from blowing up your marriage. It'll keep you from foolishness, and it will lead you to the life that God has created you for that is so much better than the world can offer. But we do have to cultivate it, and we do need to work on the fear of God. So I have kind of two practical little pieces of homework for you. And the first one is this, it's read your Bible and love the Word of God. Because to fear God is to obey him. And to obey him, we need to know what he's saying. And the second one is to pray and ask God that you would grow in the fear of the Lord. Like, He loves to give good gifts to his children, and he loves to give you the things that he asks for when they line up with his heart. So pray and ask that you would grow in the fear of the Lord. I read this verse once already, but I'm going to read it again. It's Psalm 86:11, and this is what I've started to pray. It says, "Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name." It's such a good prayer. So I'd love if you could just bow your heads this morning. There's nothing spiritual about bowing your heads, but it is about like bringing your attention and your focus in. God, I thank you for these people, and I thank you for everyone under the sound of my voice. And God, I pray that you would give them a desire to follow your ways and to obey you and to fear you, God, with all their heart. God, not as a scary God, but to revere you and to worship you and to long for the things that you long for, God. So I pray that you would teach them in your ways, that they would rely on your faithfulness, that you would give them an undivided heart, that they would fear your name little bit by little bit every day, God, and that they would grow in the life that you've created for them. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in today. Each week, we gather in cities across our region and online to explore the truth of freedom available to all in the message of Jesus Christ. To find a gathering near you or to find out more, head to c3church.ca.